the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to start reading. This is familiar scripture, but it's going to be a place that we'll start and quite a few things I want to just look at in the Bible tonight and kind of give you a little thought on the plan in the hand, amen, the plan of God in the hand of man. And we'll look at these things, and I pray this will be something you can use to help somebody with. Little simple thought tonight, too, as well. And it's the simple things lots of times that does so much good for us and helps us. And we're not looking into the deep things of God tonight. We're looking at some of the simple things. And I'm glad salvation is simple. I'm glad the plan of God is simple. Had it been so complicated, you and I would have a rough time with it, wouldn't we? Say amen. Some of you professors and some of you scholar people, you wouldn't have no problem, but now a little old fellow like me would have problems with it. Amen. I appreciate the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter 16, let's stand please, and we'll read together in verse number 13. And very familiar. I was privileged of going up to Caesarea Philippi one time, and that's where the head of the Jordan River comes out. It's a big old spring head. I mean, it's a river actually coming out of the side of the mountain. And it goes down, makes the Jordan River, goes into the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Gennesaret, which is three names for the same lake. Then it flows out of that, goes on down through the Jordan River, goes on down into the Dead Sea, and don't go nowhere else. And it's amazing to me how that water, amen, never gets out of the Dead Sea. It's 26% salt, and it just evaporates and heads back to the spring. Somebody read that this morning, chapter 1. Book of Ecclesiastes, remember that? Water flows down and heads back to the spring heads, goes back and starts all over again. So the Bible said in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," or Elijah, "and others Jeremiah," or Jeremiah, "or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding tonight, and the Lord help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, we wouldn't want to do anything or say anything tonight that's disobedient, or, Lord, that's harmful to the Scriptures. I pray tonight that the word of God might ring out in our heart. And Lord, may we, Lord, lift up the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that You might be exalted in all this. We'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch hearts and lives and help us, Lord, to understand these things. And we'll give You the praise, the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to go back to verse number 16. And I want to use this little thought. And I'm talking about the plan of God in the hand. The plan of God. So we're looking in verse number 16. And Simon answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, first of all, I want you to put in your notes, "the Christ." We need to recognize that Jesus is the Christ. Now, that word Christ is the heavenly name for Jesus. He's got Christ is the heavenly name, and it means anointed, the anointed one. And Jesus means Savior, that's His earthly name. And Lord is His title given to Him. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been over that before. We look at that. But here in the 16th chapter, Jesus is saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" Some of them said, "You're Jeremiah," and some say that you're Elias. "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answers. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I want you to jot these scriptures. Matter of fact, don't just jot them. Let's look at them. Turn your Bible to the book of John, chapter number 1. We're going to the book of John. John's Gospel, please. In John's Gospel, we go into the first chapter, And we want to talk about Jesus as the Christ. He's the Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse number 41. Notice what's happened. The Bible said in John 1:41, He first findeth His own brother. Now this is Andrew. Andrew has gone to find his brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. I'm glad Jesus is the Christ. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Matthew in the last days that they'd come some through saying, I'm Christ, and He talks about that to be some that's taken that title. But tonight when we say the Christ, we're talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh. Amen. Which is represented in chapter 1 of the book of John several times. But He's talked about here, Andrew. He goes and gets his brother and he said, Hey, we found the Messiah. We found Him, which is called the Christ. He's interpreted. That's what Messiah means. Means the Christ. So we found the Christ. Go to John chapter 4 and verse number 29. When you get into John chapter 4 and verse 29, we find the story in the fourth chapter of the woman who's at the well. She's come to draw water. Jesus, being thus weary of His journey, sit at the well. And here comes the Samaritan woman. Remember, the story is that the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings. There was a division between them. And so, look at chapter 4 and verse number 29. She's been down to the well, and she come out with the water of life. The Bible said in verse number 29, she goes back into the town, and she tells those that she's been with them, and she says in verse number 29, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. I'll tell you tonight, once you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, once He moves into your heart, you have to recognize tonight that He is the Christ. There's none but Him. Amen. Is that right? And I do praise God for that wonderful thought tonight. But looking just a little bit further on down into this, we'll find that she's talking to them, and so we'll find that there's some things going on. And looking in verse number 42, let's go back just a minute and look at verse number 40. And to get the story, the Bible said in chapter 4, verse 40, So when the Samaritans, now remember she's a Samaritan. And she said, So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. Now the Jews had nothing to do with them. And so He abode with them. I'm glad that Jesus came to those that nobody cares for. Amen. I'm glad it's that way in Christ. Had it not been, He wouldn't have taken time for me, but praise God, He found me too. And He came where I was. Praise God for it. Verse 41, And many more believed because of His own word. So because Jesus stayed there 2 days abode there, there's some more Samaritans that got birthed into the family of God. Now notice what they're saying in verse number 42. And said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, For we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Christ. Hey, can you get the picture tonight? Here's a woman that came back from the well. She said, Hey, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. It's not this the Christ. Now, they have Him to stay with them a couple of days. And now they are making a testimony in verse number 42. Hey, we know He's the Christ, not because you said it, but because we've heard Him and we've met Him. And they believe. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, praise God, I've been trying to tell others that Jesus is the Christ for years. Amen. You have too. But I'll tell you the reason I tell them is that not because somebody else told me, but because I experienced, amen, the saving grace of God myself. And it's not a hearsay that I'm preaching tonight. It's something I know for a fact that Jesus is the Christ. Now I say to you tonight, if it's just a hearsay to you, or if it's just something you're repeating tonight, and you can't say it from your heart that you know Jesus as the Christ, I would tonight challenge you to get to the altar and ask God to save your soul. So you go out and say, I know that Jesus Christ, amen, He is the Christ. Amen. So what a testimony that they have here. Now go over to John chapter 11. We're talking about the Christ. Amen. In John chapter 11, and you can look up more scriptures in what I'm giving you tonight. But in John chapter 11, we'll go to verse number 27. In John chapter 11, in verse number 27, the Bible said, let's go back before that and see in verse 24 and read down to it. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, Martha's talking to Jesus about body of Lazarus that's just been buried. In verse 25, Jesus said unto her, talking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And verse number 27, she saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Praise God, she had a personal experience with him too. Amen. The world can't say Christ, or can't talk about Jesus as being the Christ unless they know him. Now you can talk about Jesus all you want to, and they'll say he was a great historian, he was a philosopher, he was a leader. But I'll tell you, it takes somebody that's been saved by the grace of God to say, He is the Christ. Ain't that right? Amen. The world don't know nothing about Him. Praise God, I'm glad I've experienced that saving grace of God tonight of the Christ. In John chapter number 20, the last chapter of the book of John, we'll give you this one, then we'll go to another point. In John chapter number 20, and verse number 31, and we'll look at this, and not the last chapter, next to it. The Bible said in verse number 31, let's start reading verse number 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Talk about our Bible. Verse 31 said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is what? The Christ. Amen. The Son of God. And that believing you might have life through His name. So it's important tonight to know the Christ. I'm glad I know Him, don't you? Now jot this down. All these start with the same letter. We'll talk about the Christ. Secondly, we'll talk about the cross. Amen. We need to be able to touch people. And dealing with people tonight, you can talk about the Christ. But you can't talk about the Christ long unless you involve the cross. Amen. Because the cross tonight, He is the Christ. And we look at that. Turn with me to the book of Luke. I'm going to give you just one place. I could give you several, but we'll look at just one place for the sake of time tonight. In the book of Luke, I want you to jot these scriptures down. Get this fixed in your mind. He's the Christ. And we want to talk about the cross. And then we'll actually talk about the cross of the Christ, if you will. So we look in Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23, and look at verse number 32. And we'll start reading there tonight. Maybe a little lengthy on the scriptures, but listen, the Word of God, I don't apologize for reading the Bible. Amen. So far, I'll give you more scripture than I have my words, and that's what I intend to do. The Bible said in Luke 23, verse number 32, and there were also two other malefactors, that's criminals, led with him to be put to death. These boys were on death row. And they were sentenced to die, just like Christ was. Verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. Now, we could use that for that too, the cross, and out from it I've got Calvary. Amen. So I look at this, it said, which is called Calvary. There they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Praise God, you find three crosses in this verse. Amen. That's good preaching when you think about the three crosses. Amen. You got one thief on one cross. That both of them are beginning at the start, railing on Jesus and making fun, saying things. But one recognizes that one of them is the Christ. And he said, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So we find one cross of a repentant thief. We find another cross of one who just died constantly, or died right on without not acknowledging Christ. Died and went to hell. And then we find the Savior, or the Christ, on the middle cross. Amen. So there's three crosses. You look at it. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, Let him save himself if he be, what's that word? Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. You remember we talked about that the other day, the three languages in that day. Verse number 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And so we look at these things, we find there's the cross. Amen. I want to major on the cross. That's my preaching. I want to major on the Christ. And not only the Christ, but the Christ on the cross. Amen. I don't have a message to preach. This church has nothing to open the doors for and come here for if we don't hold to the Christ and to the cross. Now, the cross is not just a symbolic thing tonight to me. Some of you wear the cross around your neck. You carry that and you look at it. And if you're not careful, you're going to be like the Israelites. You remember the serpent that was placed on the pole? If they lifted up that serpent on the pole, that brazen serpent, if they looked at it, they live after this snake bit. And they looked at that and they lived. But then it seemed that they just carried that as a memorial, carried that around, and amen, if it had someone make it small enough, they carried it around their neck, no doubt. Amen. There's a lot of people carries a cross around their neck and puts them in their earrings and puts them in their ears, and they don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just symbolic. But I'm glad the cross is more than a symbol to me. Amen. It means where my Savior died and gave Himself. And I'm preaching the cross of Christ up and down the country, around the world. I major on that tonight. That's all I have to preach. Amen. Paul said we gloried. He gloried in the cross. And I glory with Him, don't you? Praise God, we got the Christ. We got the cross. And so I give God the praise for it. The third one. Got several of these, so jot them down. Not only the Christ and the cross, but thirdly, I want to talk about the commission. Amen. This is God's order. This is God's plan. And we're putting it in your hand. Amen. So we find the Christ, the cross. Number three, we look at the commission. Go to the book of Matthew. Now you can find it in some of the others too as well. But I want us to go to the book of Matthew chapter number 28. When you get to the 28th chapter, we're going to read actually the last two verses of the book of Matthew as we look at it tonight. The last two verses. We'll find that Jesus has been crucified. He's been to the cross. The Christ has given Himself. And we now know that He's resurrected Him from the dead on His own power. Nobody raised Him up. He raised Himself. And so He has come among them and assembled Himself several times. But before He goes back into glory, He leaves the church a commission. Amen. I got the commission, and I've got it out from my notes tonight, the commission of the church. Starts with the same letter. And we look. He said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, not just part of them, but all of them. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He even gives the order of how we're to baptize. Some folks come along and pull up the book of Acts and say, hey, we're going to baptize in the name of Jesus. You heard me tell the story, didn't you, one time? We was in one of the churches I was pastoring. They had a little community building right above us up there. And everybody come to the community building. I don't like community buildings too much. Amen. Everything goes on there. Some in the name of God and some in the name of the devil. And I don't like all that. Amen. The church is not a community center. Never has been. God never intended to be. But they had a little church going. They'd have some things over there on Saturday night. They could have parties on Saturday night and church service on Sunday. I'd hate to be in that predicament. Amen. Have to sanctify it every time I come in the door. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? But anyhow, This they had a little off the wall, what I call an off the wall church, started in there. They were Pentecostal of some type, charismatic, and they got in there and they had some people. They said that got birthed in the family of God. Now they may or may not have, amen. But I understand how that they followed Acts 2:38. They went into the scripture that and so anyhow, the pastor calls me. We had a baptistry. I wish we had one here, don't you? Amen. But we had a baptistry. And so what happened? That pastor called me and he said, Brother Deals, he said, I'm the pastor down here at the little place. And he said, we've got some believers that need to be baptized. Can we borrow your baptistry? Can we come down and borrow the baptistry? I'm just saying, amen. Well, amen. Pat me on the back. Hey, we're going to help you out and we're going to be, on your side. And we're just going to do... I mean, we could have made some points with some of them people. But I asked him, I said, I've got a question. How do you baptize? He said, we baptize the way the Bible said baptize. Hey, man, that's a pretty good answer. I said, would you tell me how you baptize and let me see how you baptize? And he said, we baptize like the Bible said. And I said, how's that? He said, we baptize the name of Jesus. I said, do you baptize the name of Jesus only? He said, yes, sir, we do. And he gave me the scripture that I just gave you a while ago. And I said, well, sir, we believe what God said in the book of Matthew, go into all parts of the world, preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're not going to pull Jesus out of the Trinity. And he said, well, we take it that we baptize the name. I said, well, then you'll have to find somewhere else. Amen. He said, you mean you're not going to... I know. I'm not going to let you. Amen. Now, I'm just seeing some of that. I didn't tell a whole lot of the church members. They'd have tried to crucify me. Amen. Just like probably some of y'all would. Some of you looked at that and said, why would you not do it? They're baptizing believers. I don't know if they're baptizing believers or not. They're not baptizing the way the Bible said do it. Amen. Now, who is it? Somebody taught me this week. I don't know about this. Maybe somebody in this building, see, I got such a terrible mind I can't remember. That's a good thing on you. I can catch you in the wrong place next week and forget about it by the end of next week. And so when I preach it, sometimes I get myself in trouble. You think I remembered it, and I don't remember it. I'm just preaching it. But anyhow, somebody told me this week that somebody told them that they was baptizing wrong. I don't remember somebody in here. But anyhow, somebody said, they baptized wrong. Said they we baptize wrong. Because said they baptize by putting them down forward. Put them face down in the water. I thought, well, I don't believe that's right. Reason I don't believe that's right is because I don't see us burying people face down. Amen. When I die, if I don't go by the way of the rapture, hey, if my wife... When you come down to the funeral home and look and all you see in my backside, I want to tell you, something happened to her. You get her off the side and talk to her. Don't bury me face down. Amen? And they said, well, that's baptizing wrong. Well, I want to baptize the way the Bible says, right? Isn't it amazing the many different ideas that people have out there? So we're looking at the commission. What's the commission? To go out and preach and teach and baptize. The Bible said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Now that's all things according to the Scriptures. Whatsoever I have commanded you, see, that's the Word of God. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So now we see the Christ. I'm looking at the plan of God in the hand. We see the Christ. Secondly, we see tonight the cross. And thirdly, we see the commission. We've got a job. Amen. This church has got a job. I've got a job. Most time they think the pastor's got all the job. Amen. But it's our job as a whole tonight to get the gospel to all the world. Amen. I've said this a lot of times. Sometimes we're missionary Baptist churches, we call it, when the stationary don't go nowhere. Instead of being missionary, we're stationary. And so we need to get the gospel out. It's my desire tonight. Hey, I can't be on the dark side of the continents. I can't be on the other side of the world. But God's given us the means in these modern days to be able to do that to a certain degree. And it's giving, hey, we got more means of getting the gospel out around the world than any age it's ever been on the face of the earth, unless it happened before the days of Noah. Amen. I heard what the Bible said this morning when the boy read it. Amen. When Brother Troy read it, he said, nothing new under the sun. Amen. Already, so somebody may have already been preaching to China. But they didn't preach to the crowd that's there now. We got the job, right? Okay, so we find tonight the commission. And then we see it. Now, the next thing I want to point out in the plan of God that's in the hand, it's not only the Christ, the cross, the commission, but I want to talk about His coming. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. You said, I done been there. Amen. We'll go there again. Won't hurt you. 1 Corinthians 15. If we, I was at a funeral the other day, and some of these scriptures, I have not memorized them. I just cannot memorize like some of you folks can. I never have been able to memorize scripture much. I'll miss the A, the V, the comma. I'll put it in the wrong place, and I get it. And I can get it just about every word, and next thing you know, I'll say it again, and I miss a word or two. And if I'm going to memorize scripture and quote it, I want it quoted right. And just sometimes, most of the time, I miss it. That's why I don't try to quote too much of it unless I'm pretty sure. But as I look in the scriptures, I've read enough of it that I can follow along behind somebody and I see I miss a few. But I'm pretty well versed on knowing what they're saying. So I was at the funeral the other day and I didn't have my Bible in front of me because I was sitting there. And so in verse 51, the preacher read this, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, I was able to say that with him. Reckon why? I read it enough times. Amen. "Behold, I show you a mystery." Chapter 15, verse 51. I don't know where I told you the chapter or not, but you should have known that by now. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed." Somebody said, hey, some of us are not going to die. We're going to get raptured out. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I don't know how you're getting the scriptures all twisted up, but brother, when He changes this body, and the dead in Christ rise, their bodies will be changed. And when I start rising with them, my body will be changed too. So this old body is going to die. This body cannot, shall not, never will go into glory. Amen. There will be a new body going in. Hear me? All right. So the Bible said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're talking about the coming. Amen. The Christ, the cross, the commission, the coming. Praise God, isn't that right in the order how we ought to know it? And that's how we ought to teach it to men and women that we come in contact with. Tell them about the Christ. Tell them about the cross. Tell them then what we got to do after we get saved and birthed into the family of God. Amen. Tell them about what's going to happen. Christ is going to come to get us one of these days. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. I'm going to read this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who's in the grave, that is, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend with them from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18 said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We've got the Christ, we've got the cross, we've got the commission, and we got the coming of the Savior. Ain't that good to know about it? Praise God. Now let me give you another one. I'll give you a couple more and we'll go home. Turn with me to the Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Alright, when you get to Revelation chapter 19, we're going to look down in verse number 11. Chapter 19, while you're turning there, we've got the Christ, the cross, the commission, the coming. Now I want to talk about the coronation or the crowning. Amen of the Savior. The Bible said in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now, can anybody tell me who that is? Amen. Jesus, the Christ. That's Him. The Bible said in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written." Here it is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the coronation. We're going to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords somewhere in that portion of time. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We got the Christ, we got the cross, we got the commission. We've got the coming, and we got the coronation. And one more. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. When you get to Revelation chapter 21, we want to look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her heaven." Brother, for her husband. We'll find tonight there is a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll call that the consummation or the completion of God's program. Amen. Brand new day. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. The book of Peter said that the elements will melt with fervent heat. God will set it on fire. Won't destroy it by water. He'll destroy it by fire. Brother, He'll purge it out by fire. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And read on. You'll find how that God's going to wipe away the tears from the eyes. It's not till we get to this chapter 21, that's going to happen. Amen. We're going to have there not going to be any more crying, no sorrow, no death. Amen. And then we read on a little bit further, especially in the last part. In the last chapter, the doors will not be shut to the kingdom, to the heaven. Brother, there will not be any more. Amen. Alienation or division. Brother, that's the completion of God. No more devil. He'll be over. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth. That's the consummation. We got the Christ, the cross, the commission, the coming, the coronation, and the consummation. Amen. And that's the little outline God gave me from Cleveland to the house this afternoon. Amen. Heads bowed. And God bless your heart tonight. And I pray that God will strengthen and encourage. Amen. One of them times it wasn't busting your hide, so you ought to feel pretty good. Amen. Challenging you to think about this. You can tell others and show them what the Bible says. That's how you deal with some of these people. Give them the whole plan of God. That's it in a nutshell. Just wind it up. You put other things in. Find you some other scriptures to go with it. Take out some of them. But I give you something tonight to help them with. It strengthens me. I know every bit of that. Amen. I've done been through it many times, haven't you? But it's good to put it in another way. Amen. Start with another chapter and another verse. And amen. Just get where we need to be. Let's stand. All right. Thank God tonight for the Word of God. I pray God strengthened you, encouraged you, helped you.